Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, there was quite an interesting and maybe foreboding article that appeared out on Fox News recently. And the title of the article said this. It was showed just 3 hours ago on Fox News under their political section. But it says this. It says, Drudge, Facebook, New York Times readers could face libel suits for sharing fake news under a Democratic plan. And so the article goes on to say this. Political content on the Internet, paid or not, should face substantial federal regulation to limit undefined disinformation. And users of platforms and news feeds from Facebook to Twitter to Drudge Report and even the New York Times could be punished for sharing fake news from those sites, the former Democratic chair of the FEC is urging. In a broad proposal that adds threatening libel suits to regulatory plans already pushed by Democrats on the Federal Election Commission, ex-chair Ann Ravel believes that there is support for expanded regulations in the wake of reports that foreign governments spent $100,000 on 2016 political ads on Facebook. She would include fake news not just as paid ads to be regulated, though it never defines other than the Democratic description of, quote, disinformation, unquote. And anybody who shares or retweets it could face a libel suit. She would also use regulation to improve voter competence, according to new proposals titled Fool Me Once, the Case of Government Regulation of Fake News. Ravel, who now lectures at Berkeley Law, still has allies on the FEC who support Internet regulations. The paper, also co-written by Abby K. Wood, an associate professor of the University of Southern California, and also a student from, it was another participant, was a student from USC Gould School of Law. The proposal immediately came under fire from the Republican FEC commissioner, who for years has been warning of the left's effort to regulate political talk that they don't like, especially on conservative news feeds like The Drudge. And so here we see, this is, disturbing at face value that, again, here's a way in which the politicians are trying to stop free speech, the thought police coming out, and the thought police are going to tell you exactly what you can say and what you can't say. I just find this to be extremely disturbing, and so I think it's something that we should certainly speak out about, and I think it's this article, bringing it to the forefront here, is the first step in being able to do that. This free speech is something that all of us have an opportunity to participate in, right? And when you get one group of people who says that, this is wrong and that what the said is wrong, who are they then to, who's going to make the decision about what is fake news and what's not fake news, right? It's fake news if it hurts their cause. I posted this yesterday on social media. This was out of Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer, writing there. He says this: London cops to stop investigating shoplifting and vandalism, and yet arrests are up for, get this, quote unquote, offensive comments are up 53%. So over in the UK, over in London, they've stopped, they don't have time to arrest people for shoplifting anymore, or even for vandalism. They're not going to go after and investigate those things. They say they don't have time to do it because they're spending most of their time, or much of their time, going after offensive comments that people have made. Here's what the article says. It says, thought crime is now more important to British police than actual crime. And that thought crime is that thinking that Islam is not a religion of peace and mass Muslim migration is a bad idea. That's the particular thought crime that they seem to be going after. So if you feel that Islam is not a religion of peace in the UK, in London, or that mass Muslim migration is a bad idea, well, then you may be, brought before some sort of tribunal, arrested, because that would be offensive comments that you could make about those particular areas. The article goes on to say, Britain is finished as a free society. A picture underneath police knocking on somebody's front door. It says the Met, which is the London Metropolitan Police Force. The Met says charging shoplifters, vandals, not practical, as arrests for offensive comments rise 53%. It was by Jack Montgomery in Breitbart on October 17th. Another quote in the article says this, London's Metropolitan Police Force has said that it will give up on investigating many instances of low-level crimes, such as shoplifting and vandalism, saying that it's not practical to fight them in a time of cutbacks. Another quote says, Deputy Assistant Commissioner Mark Simmons claimed that giving up on investigating many offenses was necessary so that police constables' efforts could be focused on serious crime and cases where it has a realistic chance that they will be able to solve it. The move has raised eyebrows among members of the public, considering recent reports that the Met detained 867 out of 3,395 people known to have been arrested for offensive online comments made under the Malicious Communication Act in 2016, an increase of 53% for the force since 2014. Around half of these investigations ended up having to be dropped across the UK, which critics have taken as an indicating police are overzealous in their attempts to take on so-called trolls. Can you believe that? Boy, we got to keep these numbers in mind or in a file because, this is coming to a country near you here in the United States. Over there in the UK, they've actually passed this act. They passed it, I think, as something similar to it in Canada as well. But this idea of a Malicious Communications Act, so much, for the whole old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Apparently now the name calling itself is now criminal. And you can be arrested then for thinking and speaking a certain way, especially if you're in the way associated either with Islam or with Muslim migration. Those would be two of the areas. I'm sure anything related to comments about homosexuality and all of its components not being acceptable in our society would also come under this type of speech, that they would call offensive speech as well. So we need to keep this in mind. So they arrested 3,300 people, almost 3,400 people, for offensive online comments. Don't we already have laws that speak against, defamation laws? So if somebody said things against you and it was shown to, hurt your livelihood or, directly in some way impact you as an individual directly. There's already laws on the books for things that you can do and things that can be done, you know, to in order to stop the, you know, somebody who is doing this in a way where it's threatening or so forth. But just to make a what they deem to be an offensive comment, this has just gone way too far. So there's a couple of articles here talking about this, and I think that it's something that we really need to be aware of, to watch out for, because I think that this can, you know, really, you know, it opens up a Pandora box as to what, you know, what's going to be acceptable, what's worthy of being said and what's not. Now, from a Christian perspective and just thinking through, you know, what kind of news do we really want, you know? When we say, well, we don't want fake news, and I'm not interested in fake news, but I self-filter that stuff, right? Like the Washington Post, you know? I mean, the Washington Post is, if their article, right, they have a certain criteria that they use for their articles. And the criteria seems to be this. It has to, first of all, number one, it has to say something negative about Donald Trump, number one. If it doesn't even make it, you know, to page one, if it doesn't have some sort of a Trump element to it, number one. Number two, if it can mix in not only a negative statement about Donald Trump, if it could also throw in there something about race relations, you know, if there's a racial element to it as well, and even more specifically, something about, you know, white privilege being in there, or, you know, some sort of derogatory statement or fact about whites in particular, that's a twofer. You know, you're almost guaranteed. If you get Trump and, you know, some sort of racial element in the article, then you get both of those. That's almost guaranteed to be on the front page. Number three, if you can do this, if you can get Trump, racism built into it, and you can get some negative comments about either preferably a Christian or evangelicalism, as a whole, but they'll settle for just conservatism. If you could just get a conservative, you know, a negative comment about conservatives, that would be good. And here's the Trump card to this whole thing. Here's where you're really going to get a lot of, it'll go viral if you can do this. If you can get a kind of a disgruntled evangelical to say something negative about all three of those things. So about Trump, about racism, white privilege, and about evangelicals themselves or conservatives, if you can get him, you know, you get this guy to say something negative, I'm telling you, man, that thing is going to go viral. But that's their criteria. I read a lot of their articles. I get their morning news blast, and almost every article, to me, has that criteria associated with it. And so, to me, I just self-filter, you know. I just say, okay, the Washington Post is not to be taken seriously. That's their agenda, and so everything that they say is at least taken with a grain of salt. Most of the time, it's like, oh yeah, and they can turn any story against Trump. You know, dog bites man. Well, you know, Trump has a dog, and you know, he doesn't believe in keeping his dog on a leash. I mean, it seriously goes this way in the article. I mean, it's laughable. And now they actually have a religious news writer, and I follow her on Twitter. And a lot of evangelicals seem to like her and so forth. But she bemoans the fact out there all the time on her Twitter account. She's got some latest Twitter feeds out there right now, bemoaning the fact that nobody takes the journalists seriously anymore. And why don't conservatives take us seriously? And conservatives don't realize the tremendous value that we bring. And she goes on and on about, you know, that we need more religious conservatives. Well, here's the problem with it. Number one, and I've said this in tweets to her, that you did this to yourself. You know, there's a verse in Hosea, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Well, old news journalists, you know, thou hast destroyed thyself. You sold yourself out. You sold your soul to these liberal causes and have slanted the news in so much this way. Nobody takes you seriously anymore. Nobody's buying your papers. Nobody reading the articles other than to see how you're going to get to these three things that I mentioned. You have done this to yourself. And then here's the kicker. She's a religious news one. Well, when I read her articles, again, the only thing that she's talking about religious-wise, again, seems to be this criteria that I have there. It's got to be a religious item that says something negative about Trump. It's got to be, it speaks about white privilege. It speaks about racism, these types of themes. There's very little in actual positive religious news that is being spoken about. It all has a religious, the Bible is used as a prop. The Bible verse is used as a subtext, you know, a pretext, just as, to use it in order to say, you know, Jesus doesn't want us to, you know, to be with the KKK, you know, something ridiculous. And so the reason why nobody's paying any attention is because you people have destroyed your own industry. That's what has happened. And so now we can filter. We don't have to just watch the news at 6 o'clock, you know, the evening news, right? That's why everybody's cord cutting on the cable news, the cable networks. They're like, you know, I'm paying for this. Now even ESPN is putting out this sludge, you know, into, you know, all their political views and everything. I can't even just watch a sporting event without listening to all this political stuff. And I'm not paying for this. And so everybody just cuts the cord. And where do we get it? I self-filter. I go on my own websites in order to find out, you know, the news. Tim Challies wrote an article the other day that I wanted to bring to you. It's What I Want from the News. He says this, it's gotten so I almost hate the news. I want to know what's going on in the world, but I've lost confidence that there's as much as a single organization out there communicating it in a trustworthy way. We hear lots of talk today about fake news, but I'm convinced this is of less concern than what passes as real news. It takes little more than a brief visit to insert your favorite or least favorite news outlet here to see how the news is far more and far less than the news. If I could dream up a news outlet I want, it would be defined by characteristics like these. So here he talks about the problem, just as I was just explaining it. Man, just give us the facts. We don't want it filtered facts. I just want to know what happened in the story. What are the actual facts of the event unfiltered? Is that so hard to ask for? You know, is that such a high, lofty list to ask for journalists these days? I don't want your political commentary on the facts, either right or left. I just want the facts, and I'll make a determination from the facts myself as to what to think about the article and how to add the commentary. So just a fact. That's what he says here first. Then he gives this criteria, a number of characteristics that he longs for to be in the news. Number one, truth versus lies, he said. It would be based upon truth rather than lies. This should go without saying, but sadly, we know that many media outlets are willing to tell lies. And even if they don't outright tell lies, they may suppress truth, something that makes them equally culpable. Since we teach our children, deceit is more noble than fibbing, right? Tell me the truth and nothing but the truth. And he says deceit is no more noble than fibbing. So, and I've noticed this in a lot of articles. I used to notice this in print articles. I noticed that they would end in a newspaper that the newspaper I was reading had a liberal slant to it. But when they would present a news story, the news story, it would make a real negative statement about a conservative just as the article ended before the fold. So, in other words, you know, so you got a little two or three paragraphs about a story on the front page, and then it would say continued, right? But where it said, just before it said continued, it would make a negative statement about the a conservative. And then, you know, if you actually took the time then to flip back to like page 10, where the article was continued, you would find that it would make a statement that was, would say, oh, somebody said this, but that comment was never proven to be true. Here's the deal. Not many people ever went to page 10. Right? So you only saw what it said in the first place. And I saw this years ago. I was reading through a newspaper, and I started to notice this in the newspaper, that this was one of the techniques that was being used. So you could still tell the truth, but what the way that you told the truth was slanted in order to tell the truth in such a way that you could actually deceive people by doing it. And so there's a way to do this, and they know how to do this in doing it. Secondly, Shelley says, I want objectivity versus an agenda. He said it would rely upon an objectivity instead of agenda. What we find in today's news is so often it's not just the facts, ma'am, but it is a furthering of an agenda. Stories are chosen or ignored depending on how they will further or damage a particular agenda. News is reported or ignored on the basis of an underlying ideology. Simply tell it like it is. And I think that, again, is the case. There's a criteria, you know. Limbaugh has really spoken about this a lot, not even recently, but for years he has spoken about this. But there is there's a narrative that the liberal news wants to tell, and you can hear certain words that are in talking points about the stories that have been selected. You can hear them come out in the day's news across a number of different platforms, news platforms, and news services. So it's funny because they'll use an obscure word, like a new term or something, and then the new term will appear in all of the different stories across the board, showing that there was some sort of obvious collusion in which news story was chosen and how that news story would be spun throughout the news. So now we've got this concerted effort to massage the news, manage the news, let you know what you hear and what they won't let you hear, right? We're gonna tell you these stories, but not these stories. And you can slant the way that people think about things by what is said and what is not said. You can slant it. And so he's saying, you know, this is what I want. Number three, he says information versus entertainment. So much of the news today is actually entertainment. That's true. News is not just important events that are shaping our world, but gossip related to celebrities and trite stories of no lasting import. Let news be the reporting of important events and leave the rest to another time and another place. He says reporting versus editorializing. It would distinguish between reporting and editorializing, between the presentation of facts and their interpretation. When the news is reported, it would be simple communication of known facts. Then, if reporters wanted to editorialize, they would make it clear that they are now discussing not just the facts, but a subjective interpretation of those facts. Stop blending these two together. Proportion versus obsession would be another. It would, his ideal news service would maintain a sense of proportion so that stories of major importance would be accorded major emphasis and stories of minor importance would be accorded minor emphasis. I remember one time I heard a couple of reporters talking on the news. They were talking about an important news event that was taking place, and the news reporter actually said this to the other one. He said, "I agree with you. This is a very important story. We are giving it almost 3 minutes on the air tonight." And he actually said that, as if 3 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever number he gave it there, was a lot of time given to an issue. No, you know, we need more in-depth reporting than that. Yeah, you know, just these little news blurbs about important issues is not enough. We need real, truthful, objective, in-depth reporting of the news. That's what we need. Somebody goes out and does that, hey, I'll tune in. I'll read what they have to say. That's what we're looking for. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We'll see you next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.